eBay International Standard Delivery is a service that you can use. It's a delivered duty, unpaid solution. You're not asking your buyers to pay any duty up front. Oftentimes, duty isn't charged. The eBay International Standard Delivery product is incredibly well-priced. It's less expensive than a postal service offering. It's more competitively priced than any other offering out there. That's just the reality. The service is very high. You get an acceptance scan. You treat it as a domestic shipment. You put it in the domestic mail system through the post office. It's delivered to our hub, and we take care of everything else from there.
I'm Rebecca.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 179. We know sometimes it can be a little difficult, maybe a little overwhelming, navigating through eBay. We're here to help make it better. And to help us help you make it better, guess who's back? She's our very own girl next door, all the way from Sunnybrook Farms. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hi, Griff. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How have you been?
I've been pretty good. It's been a little while since I've been back, so I'm excited to be here in the studio with you today.
For those of you who don't know, that we are actually not as remote as we used to be, at least when it comes to the podcast. We're back in our campus studio when we can. I think it's a lot more fun to record in the studio than it is over Zoom. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. And it feels so much more professional as well, instead of hiding in my closet.
Is that where your remote recording setup is?
It's a little known fact, Griff, that actually the best audio, because, you know, the clothes dampen the sound.
Yes.
So I've been told that hiding in the closet is actually one of the best ways to get good sound for audio recording.
Gee, all those years of my life, I could have been doing radio. I was hiding in the closet. Well, that's a different subject anyway. So this week, by the way, is we've got one topic, and it's all about shipping. First, we're going to check in with eBay Director of Shipping, Stuart Reichenbach, and he's going to give us a carrier update. And then we're going to explore a shipping subject that many sellers, well, they tell me it can be a bit confusing.
What is that?
It's combined shipping and combined shipping discounts. We're going to go into that in great depth with Nathan, and then you and I are going to tackle four seller questions on some interesting topics.
Look forward to that. That's my favorite part. Every episode.
Yeah, it's not only your favorite. We're hearing from sellers. It's their favorite, too. So good for us, I guess. Before we get started, Rebecca, I searched and searched, and I couldn't find any eBay news. But I did have a great time last night, and maybe we could talk about that.
If you think that's appropriate.
Oh, no, I had nothing like that. What I did is I was asked to attend a virtual seller meetup hosted by our good friends in Illinois, Rich and Nyla Syok, through the power of Zoom, of course. There were about 40 attendees, and it was a great night. Great questions, great conversation. And one of the questions that came up, and my response to that question, actually got a lot of interest, a lot of surprise. People didn't know that this certain thing was available.
Well, before we go into that, Griff, for those who don't know, can you explain what these kinds of meetings are that are hosted by sellers?
Yeah, there's sellers who have hosted physical meetups on a regular basis prior to the pandemic. And when it was not possible to meet up in like a restaurant or a person's home or wherever they were meeting on a regular basis, they started utilizing Zoom for their meetups. And it's a way of keeping sellers connected in local areas. Although with Zoom, you can call into a meeting from wherever you are in the United States, keep face-to-face with a lot of sellers, share information, share stories, and just basically keep connected. And that's what this one was. Rich and Nyla have been having seller meetups. We figured it out last night, but it was at least since 2005. And I attended their first seller meetups in Chicago years and years ago when they were in the basement of a bank in their town of Elk Grove. Now they're looking forward to getting back to physical events. But in the meantime, these are so easy. I don't have to get on a plane. I can just sit in my office. We had a great time. And we'll be repeating it with the Texas eBabes and Emails group in March on the 25th. They've asked me to come and speak there. So look forward to that as well.
That's great. So let's go back to that question that
Sure.
you got that was so surprising to people. What was it about?
Well, I'll tell you later. I'm going to withhold it for a while.
You're going to leave us in suspense?
Yeah, I'll share it as one of the questions that we'll deal with in the You Got Questions segment later. But first, it's time we got a carrier update.
It's really important to stay up to date with what's going on with our shipping carriers. And back with us now is eBay Director of Shipping, Stuart Reichenbach, for a shipping and carrier update. Welcome back, Stuart.
Hey, Griff, how are you? Great to be back as always.
What's new with the carriers? This past holiday season was nowhere near as rocky as the season before, the year before. What's up now that we're well after post-holiday? How are things going?
Things are going actually really, really well. That kind of post-peak trauma that exists, right? A little bit of hangover, leftover, if you will, traditionally really didn't occur this year. We saw, as you just mentioned, really great service out of the carriers through peak. As we talked about during peak, the United States Post Office really upped their game and did really, really well throughout peak. UPS was very consistent. FedEx had some challenges. And as we come out of peak, and here we sit in February, seeing largely similar. The post office continues to really drive their operational capabilities. UPS continues to be very consistent. FedEx is improving. We've seen some more challenges with them. Again, it's keep it relative. Their network's always in pretty good shape, but they've just had some challenges across the board. Operationally, as we would say, everyone looks pretty darn good. The carriers have been impacted a little bit differently. You know, with that weather across the U.S. this year, Griff, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and that's impacted pockets of the U.S. for a variety of a number of days, just depending on zip codes. But for the most part, the carriers are in good shape right now.
Yeah, we should remind our listeners that when there is serious weather delays that hit the carriers, we cover them for their shipping metrics so that they're not taking a hit because of the weather.
That's absolutely right. We are working really hard at communicating with the community more often through seller news announcements on where we see weather popping up, making sure they're aware that they're going to be covered. That's not something they're responsible for. In fact, we've got some weather hitting right now.
Right now, and it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I think if those sellers that are out there looking, they're going to see a SNA from us talking a little bit about what we might see happening with that weather and the same thing, protections that are in place.
You know, I wanted to ask you about QR codes.
Mm-hmm.
Really efficient way of doing a lot of things. How are we using QR codes in shipping?
About a year or so ago, we launched QR codes for shipping. And we know many, many of our sellers use our logistics platform, our labels platform for accessing services through UPS, FedEx, USPS, and other carriers. Preferential rates, the ability to access those services at home on the eBay site. And we really encourage everyone to keep doing that. And for you, those of you who are not, really take a look at the labels platform and some of the benefits that it offers. Last year, we introduced another benefit on that platform, which is after you acquire your label through the platform with any of our three big carriers, USPS, UPS, or FedEx, you no longer need a paper label. We'll send you a QR code that enables you to take your package down to the post office or a UPS store, FedEx office, whatever it might be, scan that code, and the label's printed right there for you. So the transaction's the exact same if you had decided to print the label at home. You just don't have to. You can take it to the place of injection and it's printed there for you. So it's a wonderful tool and a wonderful service.
Yeah, I've seen that when I'm printing labels, the QR code. I happen to have, as everyone knows, a thermal printer. You should have one too. But if you're in a really occasional seller where you're not going to go out and invest in printers, you're just maybe selling something every month or something. This is a really good opportunity, but if I use the QR code and I take my phone with my package to UPS or USPS or FedEx and show them and they print the label, am I getting the same rates, those really good rates that I get on eBay when I print the label, when I show them the QR code?
Yes, yes, and yes. So, you know, again, as you said, for our occasional sellers, people just getting started, shipping can be one of those done things. We see so many sellers in this space taking their package down to the post office and paying what we call full retail rates to the post office. And a lot of times we hear from sellers, I don't have a printer at home, or I don't know, you know, the functionality of that. This eliminates that. The QR codes eliminate that. Buy the label through us, get your great discount. It can be a 25, 30% discount, just depending on the service. Let us send you that digital QR code, and then you go to the post office and print the label there. So yeah, it's all the exact same. You just don't have to deal with printing the damn label and you save all that money.
Even somebody who sells regularly, who knows, they may have a power outage at home. Maybe their printer breaks down. So you can always rely on this.
That's right. Absolutely.
Stuart, there's some misunderstanding or confusion amongst sellers about the difference between the eBay International Standard Delivery Program and the Global Shipping Program. Could you maybe give us some insight into what the International Standard Delivery Program is and how it might differ from eBay Global Shipping?
Moving international on me, are you?
No, well,
all right. I like
what,
it.
It's what sellers do. They want to ship internationally.
Absolutely. So, you know, we hear a lot of sellers talk about, oh, I don't want to deal with trying to figure out how to ship to 200 countries around the world. And, you know, there's this thing called duties that might have to get paid. And I don't want to deal with it. And a bunch of years ago, we introduced the Global Shipping Program, GSP, which a lot of our sellers use today. GSP is a delivered duty paid program. Buyer would be shown, hey, this is what the estimated duty and tax is. It's paid up front. You ship to a hub domestically here in the U.S., and then we take the package from there. eBay International Standard Delivery is something we launched about 18 months ago. Some of our sellers might recall that the post office was really challenged in the international space, and they were talking about potentially discontinuing service to numerous countries around the world. And so we stepped in and we built a product with partners in the transportation and logistics space that looks exactly like if you bought a shipping service from UPS or USPS or FedEx or any of these others. eBay International Standard Delivery is a service that you can use. It's a delivered duty unpaid solution. So you're not asking your buyers to pay any duty up front. Oftentimes duty isn't charged. If it is, they'll have to pay it when it arrives. That's effectively the difference. Now, the eBay International Standard Delivery product is incredibly well-priced. It's less expensive than a postal service offering. It's more competitively priced than any other offering out there. That's just the reality. The service is very high. You get an acceptance scan. You treat it as a domestic shipment, where if you put it in the domestic mail system through the post office, it's delivered to our hub and we take care of everything else from there.
In that respect, it's like global shipping. You send it to the warehouse in Kentucky for GSP.
You got it. So your question, I got a little detail there, but I guess your question is, what's the main difference? The main difference is you're in the GSP program. It's the only way to ship. People like that. Others don't. If you just want to ship internationally and not be in GSP, you have to pick your own shipping service. When you do, eBay International Standard Delivery is one you can pick. It's a delivered duty, unpaid solution, 220 countries around the world, competitively priced, great service, delivery scans. We give you insurance, provide protections. Take a look at the product. It's a great one.
I can see a case where if you're a seller of merchandise or types of products that highly competitive on eBay, not necessarily one-of-a-kind items, and using GSP puts you at a disadvantage with international buyers because the duty is paid by the buyer and it's shown in the cost, this could be an option that might work better for you when it comes to competing.
That's absolutely right. If you think about it from my product's listed, how am I going to compete? The GSP program's a wonderful one because you don't have to do anything at all with shipping. It's completely taken care of for you. But because the duty is included, it can sometimes appear to inflate the price of the product. The Global Shipping Program is also what I would call, it's the fastest service. It's also a bit expensive at times.
Yeah, it can be.
It serves a purpose, right? And so eBay International Standard Delivery flips it around and says, hey, you're going to get great protections from us. The service is great. It's not anywhere near as expensive. And it doesn't include that duty calculation up front that can scare some buyers. That's right.
Overall, I think what's a benefit to buyers and sellers is that there are options that sellers can employ that they can choose the one that's going to work best for them.
That's right. And Griff, I just want to take a minute. You know, we understand the space can be a bit confusing for sellers. When we introduced eBay International Standard Delivery, it was really received incredibly well. It's used a lot and continues to grow. We should have a follow-up on this where we can maybe do a little more of an outline for sellers on the real differences between GSP and EISD. And what I would say is, stay tuned. We're going to continue to make it easier and simplify this U.S. export space with some really neat things that are going to come later this year. So stay tuned for that.
You read my mind when it comes to, I was about to ask, can you tease anything? and you just did.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we're excited. Sellers should be too. Stay tuned. Yeah.
Well, Stu, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. I know we'll have you back in the near future to talk about other eBay services and outline how they work. So we look forward to that.
We do as well. Riff, we'll put a little plug in. I think we said we were going to, another teaser, we were going to come back and talk about eBay Standard Envelope.
There's a lot of questions around that from sellers, and I'm sure you'll enjoy answering them.
Let's get it on the calendar in the next few weeks. We'd love to talk about that in detail. Another great product we introduced.
Absolutely. Stuart, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Griff, thank you.
We've been speaking with eBay Director of Shipping, Stuart Reichenbach, giving us an update on how the carriers are going, talking a little bit about the international shipping options between Global Shipping Program and an eBay International Standard Delivery. And we got a tease about what we're going to talk about in our next visit with Stuart, eBay Standard Envelope. Over the years, you get the same questions from a group of sellers over and over because there are some aspects of eBay which can be a little overwhelming or confusing. And one of those questions that tends to come up perennially on eBay is the different options for combining shipping. How do I do it? How do I do it before a sale? How do I do it after a sale, which can be pretty confusing. And I thought, what better time to bring back an old friend of the podcast who we haven't had on for a while, our good friend from the North America shipping team. Welcome, Nate Hayward.
Hey, Griff. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Let's just get right into it. What are the options that sellers have for offering shipping discounts?
There's a few options that we have. A couple features that sellers can use separately or together to offer buyers discounts on shipping. This can take the form of incenting buyers to purchase more than one item from your store by setting up item or pricing thresholds where shipping could be discounted when combining purchases into a single order or checkout. So really the point is, you know, trying to incentivize buyers to put more items from your store in the cart by leveraging shipping. That can reduce your cost as a seller since you've got the opportunity to ship out multiple items in a single shipment. And we've got a variety of tools that support sellers in setting up these shipping discounts. The first feature that I thought we could talk about is whether or not you share eBay negotiated rates on your calculated shipping listings.
Ah, of course. Yes, I know about those.
Yeah. When you set up a calculated shipping listing, eBay is going to ask you in the listing flow for what service you're planning to ship with and the weight and dimensions. Weight and dimensions and picking that service is very important to put in accurately. We want the weight and dimensions of the fully packaged item. That's the best detail that you can provide in the listing as you're creating it. And then if you're picking in your listing, you have the option to say, I want to charge flat shipping. That would be a cost that you pick for any buyer located no matter where they are in the US. But you can also say calculated. And what eBay does there is we evaluate the buyer's location as well as the weight, the dimensions, and the shipping service that you've listed with. And we'll calculate a rate that's specific to that buyer's location. And here's the configuration that you can set for those types of listings. You can say, charge the buyer based on the carrier's retail rate. That would be what we set as default. So if you've never set the setting, you should be set up on the carrier's retail rate. And that's the rate that you'd need to pay if you walked to the carrier retail counter. That's a post office or a UPS store or a FedEx office. However, we also offer in the settings you to say share with the buyers the eBay negotiated rate. And this is the rate of which you'd pay on eBay labels. I always know that I print my labels for my transactions on eBay. So I know I'm getting that eBay negotiated rate. And we've got 20, 30, 40, 50% discounts from the carrier's retail rate. That's a very simple setting to go adjust, share the eBay negotiated rates on your calculated listings. And immediately, the buyer-facing ship cost on those calculated shipping listings will go down by 20 or 30 or 40% and represent your actual cost that you'll be spending when you use eBay labels.
So there's a decision that a seller has to make here, whether or not they want to make a little extra moolah on the difference between the rates that they pay eBay and that they charge buyers. And for those buyers, they don't see anything but the rate, so they don't know anything about the discounted rate. But if you're in a competitive marketplace and you're charging calculated shipping, that could put you at a competitive disadvantage. So you have to decide, do I want to give the discount rates and show up as a little bit less expensive compared to my competitor?
That's exactly right. I think about it like, I know I'm always going to print my shipping labels on eBay. And here's a one button click to help make my listings more attractive to buyers when I want to charge for shipping. And I think about, as I'm creating my listings, my economics on eBay fees and the way eBay does final value fees, I'm accounting for that in how I price my item. I'm really not trying to make any extra money off of shipping. So I'm always offering, and I know I'm going to use eBay labels. So I'm always offering, just have the buyer pay my rate if I'm not offering free or flat.
I tend to offer free shipping on a lot of items. So it behooves me. It gives me a lot more wiggle room to actually provide great prices.
Totally. The second feature that we offer is to set up rules around combined shipping. So in that same area where you can set the share eBay negotiated rates with your buyers on calculated listings, there's another preference that you can set up around combined shipping and payments. So you can make rules that say, here's how I want to offer combined shipping on calculated listings. Here's how I want to offer combined shipping on flat shipping listings. There's two sets of features there. And you can set up rules to say things like, you know, when buyers add 2+ items from your store to their cart and check out, I want you to take a dollar amount of the shipping price from each of those. We'll combine those together, the ship cost for each of the items that a buyer would add in their cart. And you could say, take both of those shipping costs of the items and subtract some dollar amount in the flat shipping rules. And this will inform eBay. Let's say I have one listing with $5 shipping, another listing with $4 shipping. When a buyer would put those two into the cart, we'd charge the buyer $9 for shipping, flat 5+4. But if you set up a rule that says also, if anyone combines, take $2 off, we'd say 5+4, 9 - 2, 7. So we'd only charge the buyer 7. That's the flat shipping rules. The calculated shipping rules allow, again, use the weight and the service and the dimensions. Calculated shipping rules allows you to subtract a weight from those combined orders. For instance, if I have a 1-pound listing and I have a 2-pound listing, that accounts for my fully packaged item. But if I know I'm going to ship these out, maybe together, both of those items actually only weigh 2 pounds. And so I could say, whenever you take the 1-pound listing and the 2-pound listing and add them together to 3, subtract 1 pound, because the actual shipment of those is going to be only 2. And then eBay will calculate the buyer's rate, not off the 3 pounds, but off the 2 pounds.
Yeah. And I should remind everyone that, as we do every week, we'll put links to that shipping preferences page in the transcript for episode 179. Because it's confusing sometimes.
Yeah, it is. And those preferences are great. They've got little FAQs that help you understand what they're meant to do. You can build rules, you can build a variety of rules, and then you can apply those to your business policies or your listings individually. One thing that I like to think specifically about, like adding or subtracting weight, is, you know, you're saving on packaging when you ship combined orders out. And so, like, the cardboard that I ship out might weigh 8 ounces on each of my inventory. And if I'm going to put those into a single packaging together, I might only use one set of packaging. So that packaging weight would be something that I could ask the system to subtract for me.
This is important for sellers that actually charge shipping. If you offer free shipping, none of this has to come into play.
So, 100%.
Yeah, I just sold 2 things that the buyer bought together. It was free shipping. And that way, I got to determine what was the cheapest method for me to ship that was still safe, because they didn't pay for shipping. Of course, the shipping price was included in the price of the item. But
it's a perfect segue into the third feature that we have, which is around shipping discount promotions. This is a really slick tool that I think, you know, if you charge shipping on your listings or you offer free shipping, it's a feature that we have to, you know, set up a variety of different ways to leverage promotions to get people to buy more from your store. The thinking here is, like, what can you set up and configure as a seller to really incentivize buyers to build bigger carts from the inventory that you have available? You can set these up in a time-bound way that pertains to how shipping's shown to buyers as they build that cart. Things like, buy 3 or more items from me, all of it becomes free shipping at that point. Or buy more than $50 at a time from me, and you'll get upgraded shipping from a 5-day to a 2-day delivery speed or an overnight. You can do those together. Buy more than 3 items and over $50, and I'll do free overnight delivery to you. Like, whatever works for you. You have the ability, and you can set that up for discrete periods, for specific times. You can apply those promotions to specific listings that you want to maybe move more quickly. My favorite thing to think about as you are exploring leveraging those promotions is, like, get grounded in your historical buyer behavior. What are buyer average order size when they shop from you? What is the buyer's average order value when they're shopping from you? And see if you can push the needle of buyers to incent them to build a bigger cart. For instance, if my store sells an average of 2 items per transaction and about $45, I might think and test about exploring promotions that would say, like, I'm already getting people to buy 2 things from me. How do I get them to buy 3 at a time? Or I'm already getting people to buy $45 from me on average. How do I get them to spend $60 on average? So set up a promotion that's just a little bit over what you see you're selling on average and see if you can get buyers to go over the hump. I know I get caught in the e-commerce trap on other sites too. They tell me, oh, $45 for this awesome shirt. If you spend $50, you'll get free shipping and fast. And then I'm like, ooh, maybe I'll throw another $24 item in my cart so I can get that free shipping. It's totally like illogical sometimes, but it works.
A friend of mine used to say, it's not what you spend, it's what you save. And it's so true. And I fall for it every time. Happily fall for it. There's an aspect of listing that's recent in the last few years called volume pricing. Could that be considered a possible combined shipping or shipping discount tool?
Ah, it's a great question. You know, I don't typically think of volume pricing as a shipping discount or combined shipping sort of tool, but they can participate together, certainly. Volume pricing allows you to set a discounted price per unit when a user purchases more than one.
And this is in the same listing.
Yeah, exactly. So if you've got multiple quantities of the single SKU in your listing, you can say things like, buy two plus from me, and I'll drop the price by some amount of each unit. So let's say I've got a $10 item on the site, but I've got 50 of them. And then I could say, if you buy two of them from me, they're not $10 each, they're $9.75 each. Or if you buy three from me, they'll be $9.50 each. Buy four from me, they'll be $9 each. And then you could also have applied on that same listing one of the shipping discount promotions that also says like, oh, buy four or more from me and I'll throw in free shipping. Or build a cart that's greater than $50 from me and I'll upgrade you to an overnight speed. So this volume pricing can lower the item price, but the discount shipping promotions could help incentivize that you're buying at a lower price through volume, and then you're also getting an added bonus from a shipping promotion. So they can work together really well, but you need to be thoughtful about how you're setting up so that you're protecting your margins too.
I actually utilized volume pricing with great success recently selling IKEA rainbow bags. I started doing it 2 years ago. They'd come out in June for Pride Month, and I would buy in bulk like 100 or 200 of them. And I would get a good price. They'd sell out in the store, so there was a market on eBay. And what I did was figure out how many can I stick into USPS flat rate box. And when I figured that, I offered free shipping, did the calculation, and then I built my volume pricing around that figure so that I can stay competitive with the other sellers who are kind of doing the same thing. It was so much fun competing with other sellers. We had a ball. I would occasionally raise my price and say, okay, you make a few sales. And then I'd say, nope, lowering my price now so I can make a few sales. And I think we had a good time doing it. I actually heard from a seller who said, that was fun. Let's do it again.
I have done the same thing. I have one SKU that moves pretty well, and I've got hundreds of them. And I set up volume pricing. I've always offered free shipping on my listing for the SKU, but I do that at like a standard speed. So I say like, hey, buy three plus of these from me, and I'll drop my price from 20 to 18 per unit because I know that I'm going to ship those three out together, and I'm saving on shipping by shipping those three out.
Exactly.
But then I say, if you buy five or more, right, I drop the volume pricing, but I start throwing in that I'll get them to you in 2 days because now I know I can ship five, which is a bigger box for me, but we've got really great FedEx UPS two-day rates that compete really well with like Priority Mail and FedEx Ground. And so then it's like no sweat off my back to send them out 2 day. But that 2 day, I ended up getting a number of people that bought five plus from me when I had that volume pricing set at three and then shipping upgrade speed on free still at five plus. It was, yeah, also fun to play around with. And that took me a while to figure out. And I had to do some math to make sure I had my numbers where I got my margins that I needed.
I had several buyers who bought 20 bags from me at one time, and those were great. At a really great price with free shipping, but I still made money on them. And it was all because of figuring, doing those calculations for combining a bunch of items and then utilizing that in the combined ship. Because I offered free shipping. I didn't charge for shipping for these.
There's one last option here I'm pretty sure we haven't covered in any depth, and I thought we'd go into it. You want to talk about it? It's the legacy option, I call it.
That's right. So kind of the vanilla combined shipping, right?
It's been around for years.
That's right. It's not using any of these rules. I think of it two ways. We've just talked about how you can set up rules around flat or calculated shipping. We've talked about shipping discounts, promotions, and volume pricing. Those are all what I think of as like our automated combined shipping ecosystem. And then there's the manual way, which is what's been around probably 25 years plus.
It has, I can guarantee you.
And so, you know, we just talked about the automated ways, all the features that you've got, combined shipping rules, discount promotion, volume pricing. I love the automation because buyers can just check out. I'd argue it's not a very great e-commerce experience to come to a site, build up a cart, and then wait and not be able to pay.
Yeah, have to negotiate.
Yeah, you could negotiate or wait for the seller to get back to you. This could be appropriate sometimes, but I don't like on my store to put any checkpoints that require my engagement in between, because I've found that just decreases the likelihood that I'll actually complete this purchase. And so this tends to work well for me because I've only got a handful of different SKUs. I already know what combining those different SKUs looks like when it comes to shipping, how I'm going to ship them out. And so I also understand, like, there are probably businesses where the manual checkpoint actually works well or is actually even needed or helps you be competitive. And so let's talk about the manual checkpoint. You know, there's many businesses where this might make sense. There's basically two options for offering manual combined shipping. First is if the buyer hasn't paid, they can request a total from the seller on the cart that they've built. Sellers then get a notification. They can issue a combined invoice for the total item values and how you're going to ship with a shipping cost that you set on that invoice. That would be sent to the buyer. The buyer can pay that invoice and then it's time to ship.
I think a lot of sellers actually still do this.
I think so too. That's right. The second option is if the buyer's already paid, but you find, oh, I'm going to put these together and they've overpaid on shipping, right? I haven't leveraged any of this discounts. Haven't leveraged any of the subtracting weights or subtracting dollar values. Somebody paid you $10 on shipping and $10 on shipping. And when you ship it out, you've collected $20 for shipping, but it's only going to cost you $15. You then, almost in an act of good faith, feel like sharing that savings with the buyer. I think that's a really great buying experience, as you get $5 back that you're unexpecting. Maybe driving some repeat customers because they're feeling this like honesty coming from the seller.
Sure, of course.
That's an amazing part of the eBay community. You hear that all the time by sellers saying, when buyers overpay on shipping, I share that savings back with them and find that drives repeat customers. In this case, sellers can use a partial refund to the buyer. That feature is accessible through the Seller Hub or My eBay, looking at your sales or your orders tab.
Right. On the action menu for each item, there's a send a refund, and you can send a partial refund. And this is separate, I've learned, from the return process. So this has nothing to do with performance or anything. You can send a refund, a partial refund, if you want to give that extra shipping back to the buyer. Great way to engender some possible repeat buyers. You may also want to send them a coupon at the same time while you've got them.
I like the coupon idea. You know, when I think about the manual refund, if I'm honest, it's always confused me in a way because I've got a buyer that's checked out. Presumably, that means they were happy with the price.
Mm.
And that's why they bought it. And then to send money back to them, I get it. It's really nice, but maybe I'm a little greedy and I just keep it.
Hey, look, there's nothing wrong with that. It's all business, but these are opportunities for you, if you so choose, post-payment, post-purchase, to give a little back to the buyer in cases where they may have overpaid for shipping once you've combined the orders. We're going to put links to all these different pages and the help pages in the transcript for episode 179. Nate, I want to thank you. It's always a pleasure. We have to have you on more often.
Ah, Griff, I'm ready anytime. I love coming to chat with you.
Same here.
It's great.
Thanks again, Nate.
Thank you, Griff.
Nate Hayward is a valued member of the North American shipping team, and he is and he has been for a while our go-to colleague for any and all shipping topics and questions. If you have questions about combined shipping, we're happy to answer them. If I can't answer them, I'll send them off to Nate for clarification. Just send them to podcast@ebay.com.
You've got questions.
We got answers. We always got answers every week.
And how many questions are in the stack this week, Greg?
Well, there's only four. Last week we did, we did 9 questions. It was the whole show. We got 4 for this week. And the first one is a calling question. Let's listen to that and then we'll discuss it.
Hello, Griff. My name is Robert and my wife's name is Sierra. We have been selling on eBay since May of last year, 2021. Since then, we've achieved top-rated seller, and we have recently opened up a store. My question is, you can separate your items into specific store categories. If you don't do that, then it stays in the eBay categories. So I guess my question is, if I separate an item and put it in a separate store category of my choosing, when somebody goes to search for it, are the people who are searching for the eBay categories, is it still going, do they have to specifically search for my store category, or will it pop up on the eBay category? Not sure if I worded that correctly or if you even understand. I hope you do. But that's my question. Thank you.
So that's the question, Rebecca. I understand his confusion. I'm not sure if you understand it.
I do understand that the categories designated by eBay exist separately. They're different to the categories that I create for my particular store that makes sense for my product, my store, my branding, frankly.
Exactly.
Okay. It sounds like the question he's asking is, how does search work with those two separate categorizations?
Right. And he's worried that he may be missing buyers because they're not searching the right category.
Right.
Well, on eBay, the only categories that a buyer can search for on the site are eBay categories. So you can search within any of eBay's several thousand categories. The only time your store category comes into play is when they're in your eBay store, and now they can search inside your eBay store in your custom categories. When you list an item, you have to select a category for eBay where buyers can find it. If you have an eBay store, you can also add an eBay store category. That's optional, but again, that's only in play when a buyer happens to come into your eBay store and they may see the list of categories. And then they can click on the category and scan the items, or they can search within your eBay store. But your categorization for your eBay store is only for that store. It's not for the external eBay environment at large. So there's nothing that you as a seller need to do at all for buyers that are searching on the site. Except, of course, make sure you have the right keywords and make sure that you have the right pictures and all the things that are important to getting a buyer to click on your listing and buy it.
Right. So I'm looking at, granted, it's a desktop version, but I'm looking at the web version on desktop. And there's essentially two search windows. There's one up top next to the eBay logo that says search for anything. And then below that, I'm on a store page for a store that I happen to follow. And there is search all 1,500 items that that particular seller has in their store.
Exactly.
And those are two separate searches.
That's two separate searches, right?
Got it.
So I hope that answered your question. Our next question was sent to podcast@ebay.com by eBay seller Phil, who got right to the point. No salutations, just said right off, what are the benefits of using eBay's global shipping instead of just shipping directly to the customer, as it seems that is the cheaper way to go? Am I missing something? P.S. I would love an eBay mug. Phil of Collectors World Toys.
Well, I think we can hook him up with a mug. What do you say?
Oh, no problem. He's already on the list.
I can think of two major benefits from using the global shipping program, which is often referred to as GSP for short.
Yeah. We love our acronyms in
eBay.
Yes,
we do. Yes, we do. Phil, the first benefit for the seller with GSP is that the only obligation the seller has when shipping an item through GSP is to get it to the warehouse in Kentucky. There's one GSP warehouse. It's located in Kentucky. And what you have to do is get your item to that warehouse in Kentucky. Once you have the confirmation that the item has been scanned at that location, your responsibilities are done. eBay takes it from there.
Yeah, that's correct. And in fact, when you print out a label for a global shipping program shipment, you'll notice that the destination address is shown as 1850 Airport Exchange Boulevard in Erlanger, Kentucky. Once the shipment arrives at that location, as Rebecca says, eBay takes it from there. You have no more concern or worries. We'll handle the whole thing from there. And the second benefit, by the way, Phil, is you don't need to worry about the shipping costs to the International Global Shipping Program buyer or the possible added country fees like VAT or duties. eBay adds those on to the invoice for the global shipping transaction. And in fact, even before the buyer purchases, that international buyer sees those charges and fees on the listing page. It's very clearly laid out. Now, Rebecca, you weren't here last week, but on episode 178, Brian and I went through the steps for viewing your GSP-enabled listing on an international eBay site so you can see as a seller exactly what the buyer sees as the buyer in that international country in the way of a total shipping cost for the GSP item, including any added fees. It's very clearly laid out for that buyer. And if you're curious how you would do that, I would recommend and promote that you go back to episode 178 and listen to that particular part of the episode.
The upshot here, Phil, is that on the buyer's end, because they see these country fees as part of the shipping total for the item, that shipping total is likely to be a higher amount than if the seller had just shipped directly. The flip side to that is that the item will be delivered directly to the buyer. No holdup at customs, no duty facilities or anything like that. And, you know, that can happen when you ship USPS internationally.
And it happens more and more where the buyer says, hey, I've got to go to the customs location and pick up my item. And there's going to be additional charges. I'm not happy.
Right.
So GSP just completely eliminates that possibility.
And lets them know those fees right up front so they know exactly what they're paying for.
Right up front.
Moving on, I see we have a question that we got out of the Facebook group. Can I read it?
Yes, please, by all means.
All right. eBay seller Cherry posted, my question is, it's my understanding that FedEx doesn't charge us when we buy the label or when it's picked up / dropped off to FedEx, but when it's delivered, then wham, we get billed for whatever they've decided is the charge, and it may not be what's showed in the printing label page. Then wham, they seem bunched and hit about once a month. If any of this is true, is there any day that we can identify that FedEx is definitely going to backcharge us? My reason for asking is that I can make sure in my bank account there's enough to cover my FedEx charges that I know at least the minimum will be that I saw in the eBay label page, and it have at least enough money to cover a possible return on the highest priced item I've sold in the last 40 days. I do put in extremely accurate measurements and weights. Just shipping more with FedEx that would go USPS priority because of the delays in shipping and scanning I'm seeing with USPS. Thanks. From Cherry. Yeah, Cherry, this is a great question. And we talked to our friends on the shipping team who gave us some information to share with you. First, since you use FedEx a lot, know that FedEx invoices daily, so charges can hit an account any day. The average is 12 days after the label is printed, and FedEx bills after the delivery has been scanned.
So they're the delivery scanner.
Right.
Right. And then, right. Okay.
Okay.
UPS, by the way, is different. UPS invoices eBay once a week, and charges usually hit seller accounts on Wednesdays. And unlike FedEx, which, as Rebecca just said, bills on the delivery scan, UPS bills based on acceptance scan. And any labels with scans up to the Saturday of that week before the invoice are included on that week's charges. So it's a little different. So I've noticed that my account gets hit the Wednesday after I've had some sales. It's a little confusing. We're kind of at the mercy of the carriers how they do this, but that's basically how it works.
And then, of course, both carriers may well have adjusted the charges if there are differences in weights and dimensions. So those you can see charged up to 30 days later in some cases.
Yeah.
And the best way to avoid those adjusted charges is to be as certain as possible about the size and weight of your shipments. Cherry, it's your doing. There's no guarantees, though. Once it's into the hands of the carrier, they're going to do their own weights and their own measurements, and those charges may get adjusted.
Exactly. So Cherry, the upshot is there's really no way to know exactly when these are going to come in with any certainty. If you're funding your shipping labels through your payout account, make sure to keep enough reserve funds in your bank account to cover UPS or FedEx labels in case there are not enough funds in your pending payout when the FedEx or UPS label fees come in with a wham. I love that part. I use UPS a lot, Cherry, these days at least, and I make sure to always have sufficient funds in the bank account connected to my payouts just in case I go Well, maybe like say I go for a few days without any sales, so there's no pending payouts, and then all of a sudden some of those label charges come in, they're going to hit my bank account. There's a minimum. I always make sure there's a couple hundred dollars in that account at any time to cover those. And that would work for returns as well. It's important in this new environment with managed payments to have a little padding there.
Yeah, you got to keep that buffer.
Exactly. And finally, Rebecca, as we mentioned in the introduction, I want to talk about a question that was asked last night at Rich and Nyla's seller meetup.
You've been keeping us in suspense this whole time. I'm so excited.
So the question came up from one of the attendees. And if you mind, I know you have your laptop open there in Studio A. If you want to follow along, do you have a seller account?
I do.
Okay.
Of course I do.
So you can, and you have a Seller Hub.
Yes.
What we're going to do is go to Seller Hub. Have you sold anything in the last couple months or weeks?
No, I have a couple of things sitting in there that I don't think anybody's interested in. Okay. If anyone wants a pair of blue shoes.
All right. Well, what I can do is I'm going to share my screen with you. I'll just turn this monitor around. Oh, God. Tell me when you can see it.
Careful in there, Griff. I can see it. I can see it.
You can see it? Good. All right. So what I'm going to do, and if you're listening at home, at your desk or at your laptop, if you're in the car right now, I don't advise following along.
No.
No, please don't.
Do not do that.
Whatever you do. We're going to navigate to Seller Hub. I can get there just by, you know, I have it bookmarked, but you may have a different way of getting there. Once you're in Seller Hub, we're going to talk about the question. And the question was, is there any way that I can maintain my orders past 90 days? Because it seems like eBay rolls them off and they disappear after 90 days. Thanks. That was the question. And it caught me off guard at first because I had to first admit what I consider a little bit of shortcoming, which is, yes, they do roll off after 90 days. So you can go to your orders tab and then all orders on the left in Seller Hub, and you'll see all of the things you sold in the last 90 days. That's what I have it sorted for at the top. Last 90 days. You can see it right there.
Mm-hmm. I see it.
So you'll notice that in the last 90 days, I've had quite a few sales. And I'm very proud of that.
This is totally not Griff bragging.
Well, do you want to tell them how many sales I've had?
Wait, I'm looking. Holy smokes. That's 129?
129 transactions.
Wow, that's really impressive.
For $7,000 and plus change.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, so for those of you who think, oh, Griff doesn't sell, oh, believe me, I try.
I'm here looking at it. It's very true.
If you scroll to the bottom of the list, there are transactions which after 90 days pass, they're going to disappear. And that's what was the concern. There's one here that was from November 20th. Mm-hmm. And that's about on February 20th, that sale is going to disappear.
Okay.
But there's a way that you can still keep them.
Oh, tell us.
So what you do, I do this every month. I like to have, besides the transaction information that you can get on the payments page in a spreadsheet report, you can get those pretty easily. I like to have a visual representation of the item. And as much as I like spreadsheets, there's no photo of the item, you know? Mm-hmm. You can do this simple little trick. Now, I like to keep all of the orders from the previous month. So the first thing I do is at the top of the page where there's a sort area, I choose from, instead of last 90 days, I scroll down and I choose last month. And that'll just filter everything that was sold last month. There were 45 items.
Okay.
Now, at the very top of that page where it says results, just under results, there's a checkbox to check for all of the items in that sort rather than doing them individually. You have to check that. And then you just go a little scroll up to the shipping button. Click the down arrow and choose print, packing slip, and more.
Okay.
And the more is what we're looking for. So we'll click that. And now you're going to get a pop-up window. By default, packing slip will be the box that's checked. And maybe you do this for packing slips. Uncheck it. And instead, check order receipt. Underneath the order receipt checkbox, there is a link to customize. And if you click customize, you can select what information is going to appear on this order receipt. I have everything checked, ship from, name and address, listing photo, shipping information. I don't have the payment information tab checked because it's all through managed payments. So why should I bother? My note, buyer note, custom label, that's important for me. I click done. And on the right-hand side in the preview document, it'll show one of the 45 orders I've selected. And then you click print.
It looks like it's doing it for all 45. You don't have to do one at a time.
No, it's going to do it for all 45.
Okay.
Now, when you click print, depending on your setup at home, you could do your part in destroying the rainforest and print out 45 pages if that's how you like to keep records.
Ooh, spoiler. Save as PDF.
Yes, thank you. I save as a PDF. And then I give it a name. I'll save it. I'm not going to do it here. Right. I'll save it and I'll say January orders 2022. I will then have a PDF that will have a separate page for every one of those 45 transactions. It's not going to be printed on paper. I try to avoid doing that. And then I can keep that in my cloud server where it's always accessible to me. Someone last night, when I gave this answer, there was a lot of people who said, oh my heavens, I never knew you could do this. This is fantastic. Oh my, this is wonderful. And there was a cloud of goodwill coming towards me at Zoom. And then there was a question that wasn't so goodwill that says, well, this is not going to do me any good. You can't search a PDF. And I said, oh, contraire. Not only can you save this as a PDF, but PDF files, depending on how you open them, are searchable by the text in them. You just push Control F, enter, you know, I sold a bottle of Cabochard Gress perfume, type the keyword in, and it will search and find that record in the PDF.
Yes. And you do have to open the PDF to find it within the PDF. It's exactly. Not like it'll find it when you search your whole computer, but still it gets you 90% of the way there.
Right. And all you have to do to get 90% of the way there is just do a few clickies into the PDF. Okay. I know it's hard work for that finger to do those little clickies, but there you go. I heard from people who were attending the event and they said that little tip was worth the whole entire meeting.
We should record a video of you walking through this and put it up on our YouTube.
Well, I will. I'll do that this week, yeah. And I'll send it to you. It's pretty easy. And you can, if you want to go through the steps, you know, just rewind the tape, they say, and go back. They're pretty easy. It's this new feature, which it took the place of the old print packing slip feature on eBay. And I don't think we promoted it enough because it's really quite cool that you can create these documents and each one is a documentation of that order. I love it because of the photo, which you can't do in a spreadsheet, of the item, and the custom label information is there. And that's where I put things like cost of goods sold, the date, and the place where I bought the item. Then I have a record that I can refer back to if I need to for whatever reason when I'm keeping books.
And if you still can't follow the steps that Griff just walked us through, come to Discuss the Podcast, the forum on the Seller Community. And post your question there, and Griff will walk you through it personally.
And in fact, Rebecca, you're a genius. What I'm going to do is I'll do screenshots, and I'll post them there, and because you can upload screenshots to that. And you can get to the Discuss the Podcast on the community page at community.ebay.com. Click on the podcast link on the top. If you hover over it, there are two options. One is Discuss the Podcast, and the other is the podcast library, where you go to listen. The Discuss the Podcast area, as Rebecca's pointed out, it's a rather new area, and it's where I go in, I post a new thread, and I will come in and answer any questions that anyone has about that week's episode. I'll post some screenshots for those of you who like, well, maybe refer to visuals more than just the sound of my voice.
I'm a visual learner. I would find that helpful.
Oh, me too. I love visuals.
Anyone out there, if you have a question about eBay and selling that you've been itching to ask, if so, you can call us at 888-723-4630.
That's 888-723-4630. It's a voice line where you can leave your call as a recording. You can call it any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave your question or comment there. And who knows, you just might end up on the next episode of the podcast.
And if you're not a call on the phone kind of person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And I know we do this every week, but it bears repeating. It's time for the daily podcast to-do list.
Check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news.
Exactly. And one of the last pieces of news was our seller winter 2022 seller update. If you haven't read through that, do it now. And in general, just, you know, make visiting the eBay community pages a regular part of your day.
And then, of course, check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links that we referenced during the episode.
In our next episode, which, by the way, is episode 180, for those of you who like round numbers, we'll take a closer look at listing templates and discover how they can save you a lot of time.
And we'd like to thank again our guests this week, eBay Director of Shipping, Stuart Reichenbach, and our good friend from Stuart's team, Nate Hayward.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.